WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Friday. That's right, T-G-I-F. You have made it. That is right. The weekend is near. We have a great show in store for all of you out there. We will close out your week with a bang. Of course, we will recap what took place last night in the first four Sweet 16 games. You don't want to miss that. None of them were really close. Also, yeah, the NFL, folks, and this whole concussion study. More than 100 concussions left out of the premier NFL study that is used to maybe or maybe not draw a link from the NFL and football to the world of concussions. You don't want to miss that. Also, if 10:30 was a little too late for you and you didn't get a chance to stay up for our Current Sports TV sit-down with Dale Beard, assistant coach for the Lansing Everett boys basketball team. We will play that interview live here on our airwaves. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk Michigan football as Jim Harbaugh will be holding yet another satellite camp. And you know that we close out each and every Friday Current Sports with Reflection Friday. Call in to be a part of today's show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/Current Sports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves. Or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, though, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, March 25th. All right, folks, we had one high school boys basketball team from the local area playing in the semifinals at the Breslin Center yesterday. The Fulton Pirates, they fell to number one, Powers North Central, 64-23. The final of that one, Powers North Central, which hasn't lost since the 2013-14 year, went into halftime with a 41-9 lead. The Jets are the defending state champs, and this marks the second straight year that Fulton has lost to them. In remaining semifinal games today, Lansing Everett plays North Farmington at 2:50 p.m., and Detroit Henry Ford plays Williamston at 6 p.m., both games at the Breslin Center. I want to remind you all to keep it locked to WKAR.org for our coverage on those games. All right, both the MSU baseball and softball teams play today. The baseball team opens up Big Ten play today against Rutgers, the beginning of a three-game series that will extend to Sunday. First pitch is set for 3:05 p.m. today. Now, after beginning the season with 17 consecutive games on the road, the Spartans had their home opener on Wednesday, a 4-1 win over Central Michigan. MSU and Wisconsin were scheduled for a three-game series in softball with single games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. With Thursday's postponement, the teams will play a single game today at 3 p.m., a change from the original 4 p.m. start time, and then play a doubleheader on Saturday beginning at 1 p.m. Admission to all games this weekend is, get this, free. Yeah, I love that word. All right, so go out and go check out some baseball and softball. All right, in NCAA action, the first four Sweet 16 games took place in the South. Number one seed Kansas faced number five Maryland, and number three Miami played number two Villanova. In the first matchup, the top-seeded Jayhawks took down the Terrapins 79-63. Senior forward Perry Ellis, yeah, the old man, led Texas with 27 points to match a season high. Rashid Suleiman led the Terrapins with 18 points. In the second match, the Wildcats easily handled the Hurricanes 92-69 in a game which they never trail. Ryan Arciato and Chris Jenkins each had 21 points for the Wildcats. The team shot also an amazing, get this, 62.7% from the floor. Sheldon McClain, he led the Hurricanes with 26 points. The Villanova Wildcats played the Kansas Jayhawks in the Elite Eight on March 26th. In the West, Number one seed, Oregon, went up against defending champion number four, Duke. And the number two, Oklahoma Sooners, played the number three, Texas A&M Aggies. The Ducks knocked out the Blue Devils, 82-68, led by Dylan Brooks with 22 points. Brandon Ingram led the Blue Devils with 24 points. In the second matchup, the Sooners defeated the Aggies by a score of 77-63. Jordan Woodard led the Sooners with 22 points. The Aggies were led by Tyler Davis, who had 17 points. The Oklahoma Sooners advanced to the Elite Eight and will play Oregon on March 26. All right, Duke coach, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, has disagreed with the account of Oregon player Dylan Brooks, who told the media after the game that he told him to stop showboating during the handshake line. The sophomore forward hit a three-pointer near half-court Steph Curry range with 10 seconds left and his team up 11. Coach K said after the game, quote, "You can say whatever you want. Dylan Brooks is a hell of a player. I said, you're a terrific player. And you can take whatever he said and then go with it." All right? End quote. We have more on that, you better believe. All right, the Red Wings got a much-needed win over the Montreal Canadiens at home last night. They led 4-0 entering the third period, but the Canadiens rallied to cut the deficit to one goal with most of the final period remaining. The Wings were able to cling to their lead, winning the contest 4-3. Riley Sheehan had two goals in the game, and rookie Anthony Mantha managed to net his first NHL goal. The win helped the Wings tie the Flyers for the last wild card spot, and they are now only 1 point behind the Bruins for third place in the Atlantic Division with a game in hand. The Charlotte Hornets travel to the Palace of Auburn Hills tonight to take on the Detroit Pistons. Detroit is in the middle of their 9-game homestand, matching their longest winning streak of the year with their fourth straight victory against the Orlando Magic on Wednesday night. The Pistons are hoping to hold on to the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. Only the Warriors and Spurs have a better record than the Hornets since February 6th. They are tied with Miami for the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference. The game tonight is at 7:30 p.m. and can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit and NBA TV. And former Michigan State star and Grizzlies forward Zach Randolph has been accused of choking a woman in an L.A. hotel. His agent, Raymond Brothers, told the Commercial Appeal in a text message that the allegations are false. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show, baby.
It's game two in Louisville.
This Kansas team, they are capable of winning it all.
Kansas hasn't lost in 2 months. Very exciting first half. There were 7 lead changes. Kansas has now hit its last 8 shots. Ellis again. 11 points ties the largest lead of the game.
Right away, you saw the heads of Maryland go down.
Suddenly, it's 16 for Kansas. Kansas went on a 9-point run and has been in control ever since.
Tonight, I thought we played just superb.
Oregon and Duke meeting for only the second time ever.
Upstairs. Oh, baby.
Brooks. Oh. Bold. Whoa. Beauty.
The Ducks are looking to put them away right now, Vern, if they can. That just could be game, set, match, too.
That will do it. This one's in the books.
They were the better team. That was pretty obvious tonight.
It's been a long time coming for our school, so we are very excited about the opportunity. Lasty.
And that is how we start today's current sports. Happy Friday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Welcome to the show. Of course, I am your host, Al Martin. Our phone lines are now open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We've got a lot to talk about in so little time. You can also weigh in by tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR or even going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And those who are friends of mine on Facebook, again, just add me at Al Martin. Al Martin, really simple, A-L-M-A-R-T-I-N. If you are a friend of mine, you can catch the live stream happening right now behind the glass. My man Isaac is back there. We've also got Davey. We've got Seth as well back there. Our fantastic, fantastic current sports PAs doing a great job. You can catch them right now on the live stream. They are saying hello to the beautiful people. So again, yeah, add me on Facebook. Al Martin, folks, really simple. A few comments to read before we move forward here. All of our fantastic listeners and viewers out there. We've got Jessica that wants to weigh in. She says, hey, Isaac.
Oh,
hi,
I'm
Isaac.
I'm used to that. No, I'm just kidding. At first, because there wasn't a last name to go along with it, I wasn't sure who it was.
You know who Jessica
is. But yes, now I know who Jessica is, of course. Yeah.
Hello, hey, Jessica. Yes. Also, Ryan weighs in. Ryan Walker, current sports, best show ever. My man, Ryan. He's a fantastic listener and very dear to the WKAR family. And also, Jason Ruff. He never takes a day off. He's not even working today, but decides to chime in and weigh in. Jason, current sports PA, he says, Al, and you know Jason's a hockey nut. Al, do you like Michigan or Notre Dame in the NCAA hockey tournament right now? Jason, in my bracket, I've got Michigan winning that. So, yeah, okay. There you go. I'm not a big hockey fan. I will say that. I'm not a hockey aficionado, but I am going with Michigan if those two in that game today at 5:30, actually. They puck drop is 5:30 for that game.
I'm going to say Notre Dame, actually. But the funny thing is, Jason is working today.
He is.
With the Big Ten Network, so I'm not sure how he found time with it, but he finds a way to talk hockey. You can bet on Jason.
Definitely.
He'll talk hockey.
Yeah, all I got to say to Jason is don't let Rick Church find out you're watching right now and listening, all right? Do your job, my man. But thank you so much. We love you, Jason. All right. Again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, last night, we want to start with the Sweet 16, of course, because last night was the first batch of games for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, the Sweet 16, getting underway. I will admit, after I went out to the Eli Bro Michigan State Museum to participate in Current Sports, Current State's pop-up stories event, a great time, I've told a story that previously I haven't told anyone but two people. And it was a great time going out there and getting it off my chest. I had a great time out there, though. And it was a packed house. And we really appreciate all of our dear listeners out there out in WKAR land, because you guys were awesome last night. It was a great time getting a chance to shake hands and mingle with you all. And we really appreciate your support. But anyway, after that event, I went out with my frat brother, Kurt, and we went and saw the Batman versus Superman movie. Unbelievable movie, off the chain, and I really jumped out of my seat at one part of the movie, because you can clearly see the Eli Bro Museum in the movie. Of course, you guys know, those who live in East Lansing or around Michigan, that a portion of that movie was filmed right here in East Lansing. Zack Snyder, he has close ties here to Michigan State, and you could clearly see a portion of that film filmed right there. But it was a great movie. I would give it 4 out of 5 stars. Check it out. Great film. But in lieu of that, I did not get a chance to check out the games, the first batch of Sweet 16 games in live time. But I did my research, though. Stayed up all night on SportsCenter watching the highlights. Woke up early this morning, checked out some highlights, did some research. And there are a few takeaways that I have about those Sweet 16 games last night, Isaac. First off, none of them really were entertaining. I want to say that. And this is a stat I want to bring out. For the first time in 8 NCAA tournaments, a night of Sweet 16 games featured every game being decided by, get this, double digits. That's craziness. For the first time in 8 NCAA tournaments, one night where every single game was decided by double digits. That's nuts. Now, the last time, yeah, boring. So I didn't miss much, I guess. You know, when I was sitting there watching, you know, Batman doing his thing against Superman, I didn't miss much, I guess, Isaac, right?
No, you didn't. The best basketball last night, at least until a certain injury occurred, was at IM East. But, no, I'm
yes,
just kidding.
And I want to throw that out there, too, because Isaac, you know, he's a big basketball nut, and apparently you were out at IM East, right, playing some ball.
Correct.
And I got a text after I got out the theater like, ow. I wish I could read it word for word. I would read it in a very somber mood, but you're like, ow. Man, I would you mind being my chauffeur tomorrow to work because I twisted my ankle playing basketball? How did that happen anyway, Isaac?
So I was going up for an alley-oop No, I'm just kidding. That was my friend who actually has the same injury, who's 6'6", and was going up for an alley-oop. But
right.
I was on a fast break layup, and they contested. I got hit in the air, and when I fell, my ankle just twisted backwards.
Oh, no.
I've never had it happen before. So I'm trucking along. I'm doing fine, but might go to the doctor today and see if it isn't anything more than just a sprain.
Right. Okay. Well, we're taking sympathy comments for Isaac as well, I guess.
We are.
But anyway, going back to the tournament, though, I mean, just blowouts left and right. And, you know, looking at some of the takeaways, first off, the last time that happened where there was a night where every single game was decided by double digits in Sweet 16 play, the last time that happened was 2008, which was also the one and only time that all four number one seeds reached the Final Four. So the question is, will history repeat itself? I don't know. And I got every single game right on my bracket. Not that anyone cares out there. Who cares about brackets at this point anyway, right? Everyone's in, just about every bracket is in the trash right now. But I did get every prediction right last night. But we'll have to wait to see, you know. I mean, the last time this did happen, all number one seeds, Final Four. Kind of boring, but hey, I don't know if we'll see that this year. But I will say, my goodness, you know, on Thursday, the higher seeded teams proved why they were the higher seeded teams. Kansas, whoa. Villanova, yeah. Oregon, mm-hmm. And Oklahoma looked extremely impressive. They all look well prepared and really Final Four worthy, in my opinion, when looking at their entire body of work and how each of those respective teams were able to pull out those dubs. Now, two of those four will not break through to Houston, though. But no matter what happens on Saturday, their seasons have been a success in my eyes. And Oregon, just really no issues with Duke. How about that? Now, as I mentioned in our Quicken headliners, the storyline coming out of that Oregon and Duke game, Isaac, is not about how Oregon dominated Duke. Right now, all I'm seeing across every big media platform, ESPN, Yahoo, SI, I mean, I could go on and on, is this whole Dillon Brooks and Coach K encounter that did happen or didn't happen during the handshake line in which, yep, you know, it was said that Coach K said, hey, man, you're being a showboat. You need to turn that down a little bit. I saw the play. He took a three from Steph Curry range, and he was pretty pumped up about it. They were up by 11 at the time. But
12 seconds left.
Yeah, 12 seconds left. I mean, who was expecting him to make that, first off? I don't even think he expected himself to make that. But, I mean, he's just throwing up a shot. Who cares? But I don't know. Do you think Coach K did it? What side are you on here? I don't know, because you have some he say, she say stuff going on.
We can't know that unless we were actually in that handshake line, of course. But my intuition tells me, yeah, Coach K might have said a little something. I don't think Dillon Brooks would just come out, make that up. I think it's much more possible for Coach K to come out and say, listen, I wasn't that harsh. I told him he's a great player, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Sure you did, Coach. But I did find the celebration a little bit insulting, at least from the perspective of a Duke player, Duke fan, or Coach K himself. So I have no qualms whatsoever with Coach K saying something in the handshake line, but really, he say, she say, over a, 15-point game, whatever it was. Come on, we should be talking about better stuff than that.
Yeah, Oregon looks really, really good right now. Brooks had 22 points, and he said to Allie LaForce afterwards during the post-game interview that, quote, we've been underrated the whole season. Well, underrated no more. Underrated no more for this Oregon team. Oregon reaches its first regional final since 2007 and sets a school record for most wins in a season at 31 in the process. And you know what? I have to address the elephant in the room right now. The elephant going through many minds in mid-Michigan. One man, Trevor Manuel. Trevor Manuel, yeah. Lansing. And it's so fitting today because Lansing Everett plays in the state semifinals today, literally right after we get off the air. I'm heading down to the Breslin to check out one, Cassius Winston, who's coming to Michigan State next year. But also, Lansing Everett playing at 2:50 p.m. in the state semis. Trevor Manuel led this team last year to the state semis, took his talents to none other than the Oregon Ducks, but decided it wasn't the right fit and transferred mid-year. Really did, in my opinion, really didn't give Oregon a fair shot. And now, this is an Oregon team that has made the Elite Eight. So, did he make a mistake? I may say yeah here.
Yeah.
You know, again, first regional final since 2007. Man, that's crazy.
Well, and how about this? Dillon Brooks, the guy who put up, 23 last night, including that redonkulous final three,
mm-hmm,
that like you said, was from Steph range, he's a sophomore. So this team isn't going anywhere anytime soon. This was the validation game for them because out in the Pac-12, we know they're kind of separate from the rest of basketball society. They proved today, or last night rather, mm-hmm. that they're for real because Duke is not. Duke plays all over the country, and they're a for real team. They have been ever since Coach K has been the coach and before, and Duke was just handed it. Handed their end of the stick by Oregon.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Lon Kruger as well. Lon Kruger is the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners. Lon Kruger made history yesterday. He joined these coaches as the only men in Division I basketball history to take three teams, not one, not two, but three teams to the Elite Eight. Folks, I'm talking about Gene Bartlow, John Calipari, Rick Pitino, Bill Self, and Eddie Sutton. Some impressive company. Kruger is considered within the business to be one of the best, without a doubt. And certainly one of the nicest guys as well. I love Lon Kruger. Just watching his, listen to his comments after the game. He's not like your Izzo. You know, he's not like flipping out in the sidelines and saying, oh, we need to do this and that and that better. He's just a nice guy. Yeah. Just a real even-keel guy. Certainly a great basketball mind, obviously, when you look at his track record of success. So, again, leading this Oklahoma team, a very, very good Oklahoma team, to the Elite Eight. And, you know, what was so interesting, though, when I look at the stats, of course, the big spotlight is on Oklahoma's best player right now, Buddy Hield. He's in the conversation for the Wooden Award. National Player of the Year. But when you look at his stats, and again, he had a double-double. He was outstanding last night. But I really like the role that Buddy played last night because he showed that he can also get his teammates involved. I mean, you look at, you know, teammate Jordan Woodard. You know, Woodard dropped 22 points on 8 of 11 shooting with 5 assists to really lead the way for the Sooners. I mean, he was the man, and he wasn't the only one to step up, though. Hield, again, it was actually Hield's first double-double of the season, 17 points, 10 rebounds. Kadeem Latin, Ryan Spangler each had 10 points in the front court. Christian James had 12 points off the bench. Isaiah Cousins, he only scored 2 points. But get this, he had 8 assists as the Sooners recorded a season-high mark with 23. It's showing that, yeah, you may have a National Player of the Year in Buddy Hield, but this team is deep, and they have other guys who can be solid contributors. So I think that's also a big thing that makes Oklahoma so dangerous. This isn't just Buddy Hield here. They can attack you in so many ways, Isaac.
No, you're right. Woodard and Spangler, all of those guys also played big roles earlier in the season when Oklahoma lost to Kansas twice, but both were fantastic in those games. I believe that Woodard actually had 27 points in that 109-106 defeat. And Buddy Hield, you know, we talk about Denzel Valentine's charity all of the time pretty much on the court, mm-hmm. how he's just willing to give it up to teammates. He's got no regrets whatsoever passing up an open shot for his teammates' better shot. And Buddy Hield last night did that, just that. For the leading scorer in the nation, someone who averages 25 points a game, to only take 13 shots to get 5 assists, that's a big game for Buddy Hield.
But he didn't need to do anything. That's the thing. I mean, he didn't need to be that guy to say, all right, give me the ball. I got to make something happen here. They were comfortable that entire game. Simple as that. And also, another takeaway here, Isaac. Villanova, unstoppable right now. This Villanova team, my goodness. Get this. Villanova has only trailed for a total of 75 seconds this entire tournament. Are you kidding me? Yeah, Oregon, Kansas, Oklahoma, they all look very good. But really, Villanova looked the best. The Wildcats, man, that's going to be a good game. The Wildcats taking on Kansas? Oh, that's going to be must-see TV. But right now, if Villanova plays the way they've been playing this entire postseason tourney, oh boy, Kansas is going to have its hands full. But that is going to be a game to watch. Get your popcorn ready. Nova is clicking right now.
Yeah, Nova last night shot over 60%. When a team does that, we talked about how Middle Tennessee State was unstoppable. This is a team with some of the best talent in the nation. And you top that on to just a perfect night shooting for them. Chris Jenkins with 21. Ryan Arcidiacono, who's been in that program for 3 or 4 years now, also 21. And they are such a good perimeter shooting team. against Kansas, it's really going to be a matchup of Perry Ellis, if you ask me, versus squad of perimeter shooters.
What is Perry like? He's like in his 20th year in college?
I think 21st.
Right, exactly. The dude's just an old man with the receding hairline just doing his thing.
Oh, yeah.
Doing his thing, man.
James hair.
Exactly. Yeah, the LeBron James hairline. Exactly. Folks, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We're going to remind you all that, again, the first four games of the Sweet 16 are in the books. But, hey, I'm really excited about tonight. We'll have Virginia versus Iowa State. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, yeah, Big Ten, Syracuse and Gonzaga, and North Carolina versus Indiana. Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun night tonight. I'm going to be glued to my TV. So I'll be at the Breslin Center right after we get off the airwaves. Again, Lansing Everett playing in the boys high school semifinals. And again, keep it locked to WKR.org for all of our local coverage of teams playing in the state semis. Again, Fulton, I want to give a shout out to Fulton though. Fulton, a great season for the Pirates and going against a Powers North Central team that is just so good. They're so good right now. I don't think they've etched a loss in 2 years. Yeah, folks. So Powers North Central, they go to the state championship game yet again. They are the defending state champions, and Powers North Central is the same team that beat the Fulton Pirates last year, 64-23, the final of yesterday's game at the Brez. But a great year nonetheless for the Fulton Pirates. Great season to them. But again, we do have two local teams left in the state championship run. Again, Lansing Everett plays North Farmington at 2:50 p.m., and Detroit Henry Ford plays Williamston at 6 p.m. And we all know the emotion surrounded by this Hornets team. Coach Jason Bauer, head coach of that squad, he was diagnosed with brain tumors. He had surgery to remove those tumors. He has taken a leave of absence from the team, and Riley Lewis's dad is now taking over as the head coach of that squad. And the hashtag going around is hashtag Bauer Strong. Williamston playing for their beloved head coach, who again has gone through so much, they are playing with emotion on their shoulders. So there will be a lot of emotion in the building at 6 p.m. for that game. All right, before we hit this first break, Isaac, I want to bring up this story. We didn't get a chance to dive into this one, but it's one that is very unsettling. And it's one that, yet again, paints the NFL in such a bad light. And it paints Roger Goodell and company as the villains, yet again. The NFL's concussion statistics that were the basis of the league's stance on traumatic brain injury did not include, get this, not just 1, 2, or 3, not just 20 or 30, not even 40 or 50, but more than 100 concussions. Again, I'll say this again, the NFL's concussion statistics that were the basis, the foundation of the league's stance on traumatic brain injury, that report did not include more than 100 concussions. The stats, which logged the number of concussions between a time period of 1996 to 2001, were used for 13 peer-reviewed concussion studies, research NFL officials pointed to for years as evidence. They used this study as evidence, folks, that there was absolutely no link between football and traumatic brain injury. That same study did not include more than 100 concussions. How does this sit with you, Isaac?
It's disturbing. It's unsettling because this is a league. This isn't one player, one team hiding some minor detail. These are over 100 important cases, life-changing cases that might have led to the deaths of certain NFL players, such as Junior Seau, who committed suicide probably because of the injuries he sustained while playing football. So the fact that the NFL left out over 100 of these to soften the blow. First off, it's fantastic reporting, and all kudos to the New York Times for uncovering this farce. But the NFL, they've got to be reeling right now as a league, as their reputation. We see more and more scandals levied against them every day. And you know what? They deserve it because the NFL has failed with its reputation as a league to protect its players and to really educate the fans on what's going on. And because of that, I have no sympathy whatsoever. I'm thrilled that this came out, but I'm not thrilled that it happened.
Very, very true. And I think that's very well said as well, Isaac. And the thing that rubs me the wrong way is that you're playing with lives here.
Exactly.
Simple as that. You're playing. This isn't just playing around, you know. This is about life and death at the end of the day. And you brought up a player like Junior Seau in the movie Concussion, which really has, you know, just taking the shades off of many people's eyes when it comes to this subject, to the general public. Will Smith playing Dr. Benito Malu, the individual who discovered chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And you see examples in that movie of former NFL players who are going through depression and emotional instability issues. And again, who are, you know, have decided to just take their lives, just to put a gun to their head and just say, I'm going to end this whole thing. And the NFL, in an attempt to make itself not look as bad, deciding to exclude a big portion of a report, over 100 concussions not included in this study, to try and make there's this perception that there is no link between the NFL and concussions and CTE is absolutely sickening. And it just blows my mind how Roger Goodell in the NFL constantly try to play the system and always get caught. I don't understand it, man.
How has he kept his job?
I don't
know.
That's
my question.
It blows my mind, dude. It's one of those things you look at and evaluate and say, okay, the only conclusion I can come to is that the NFL is such a big entity. The NFL rules the world of sports here in America. It is the most popular sport here in the U.S. of A. It makes the most money. It dominates. Folks, heck, we hold, the NFL Network holds like an hour-long special just on the schedule being released, all right? The NFL runs everything. And that is really the only reason why Roger Goodell has been able to keep his seat. And he's got some pretty good backing when it comes to the NFL owners as well. So I don't understand it, but it really rubs me the wrong way because this is such a serious issue that extends far beyond just the NFL, but also when it comes to youth football, you know, kids playing the game and their possible, you know, issues with their health and their fragile brains as they go along and extend their football careers. And the NFL trying to cover up stuff when you're dealing with health and life and death, that bothers me. Really bothers me. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. In the meantime, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will give you a current sports TV playback as I got the chance this week to sit down with a hoop legend here at Mitt, Michigan. His name is Dale Beard, and he is now an assistant coach for the Lansing Everett boys basketball team, who, again, will be playing in the state semifinals today in less than 2 hours. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Also, I want to, sadly, bring this news to you guys. I meant to do it in the quick hit headliners, but we were running low on time. But former Alabama and NFL fullback Kevin Turner passed away on Thursday at the age of 46 after battling Lou Gehrig's disease. After being diagnosed with the disease in 2010, Turner served as president of the Kevin Turner Foundation, which seeks to show the potential connections between repeated brain trauma and ALS athletes. Yeah, he was also a lead plaintiff in the lawsuit against the NFL. So that is a direct segue from our subject that we just had before our first break. So rest in peace, Kevin Turner. You will certainly be missed. Let's go to our phone lines right now on line one. We have our dear friend and caller, from Indiana. Ray, what's up, my man? Ray, is Ray there? Ray? Do we have Ray Isaac?
Looks like no Ray.
No Ray.
We're going to try to get him on soon.
That may be him calling back. Okay. Well, I'll bait some more time before, because I want to play this interview again. We had Dale Beard on our Current Sports TV episode last night. And again, if you missed Current Sports TV, and if you want to check out any Current Sports TV that we have done in the history of the show, I believe we're like knocking on episode 80, I believe. Well, we may even pass 80. I have to check the exact number, but we've had a lot of them, folks. If you want to check out any episode that we have done in Current Sports TV history, all you got to do is simply go to video.wkar.org, video.wkar.org, and you can check out Current Sports TV. You can check out Curious Crew. You can check out Forte. Any episode of our original programming at WKAR TV, you can watch right there. Very cool stuff. But I got a chance to sit down with Dale Beard, again, assistant basketball coach for the Lansing Everett Vikings. Dale, such a good friend of the show. And it's so interesting, again, because they play in the state championship game, the semifinals, I should say, today at 2:50 p.m. This is a mountaintop that this team has been striving for since last year. And they got to this point last year, as I mentioned, with Trevor Manuel. And, you know, something that really stood out to me is just the candid comments about this squad after that win on Tuesday night. And they wanted to prove that last year was no fluke, that we didn't just get here. So we're going to play that interview for you in just a sec. But I do believe, do we have Ray right now, Isaac? Is Ray there?
Can try him.
Ray. Ray from Indiana. What's up, Ray?
Hello?
Ray, what's going on, my man?
Hello.
Hey, Ray, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Ray, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, Ray. Okay.
Hello?
This has to be a comedic moment in Current
it
Sports.
It is a comedic moment.
Ray.
Hello?
Ray?
Hello?
Ray? Ray?
Hello?
Yep. Okay. Ray?
This is Ray.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? This is like a Verizon commercial.
This is Ray.
Okay, well,
hello,
Ray, please hang up, Ray.
Hello.
Okay, can we cut him off right now, Isaac? Isaac is just keeping it. I don't know what's going on. Okay, and to put this out there, we are in a new studio today. Current State is doing, I believe, a live musical recording in our usual Studio S. So we're actually throwing back the show today. We are in Earl Robinson's original studio, the studio that he had for 39 years, an AM control studio C here at WKAR Radio. So a little bit of technical difficulties here and there, but again, still call in. We'll hopefully what happens to you does not happen.
We're working to resolve it.
Yeah,
all of that.
We'll smooth it out. Hopefully, again, just that what happened to Ray doesn't happen to you. It's just that we save that though. That might be a button in the future. Hello, just Ray saying hello 1,000 times. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's get to my interview with Dale Beard, again, assistant coach for the Lansing Everett boys basketball team. And, the first thing I asked Dale about was that incredible win on Tuesday at Don Johnson Fieldhouse at Lansing Eastern High School against Hudsonville that sent this team to the Breslin Center. Crazy game. Here was Dale's reaction.
It was crazy. but I'm glad we came out on top.
Without a doubt. And, again, back-to-back trips now to the Breslin for Everett. Also want to give a shout-out to our two other local teams that have made it to state championship semifinal games. Fulton and Williamston won that same night. So shout out to Fulton and Williamston for getting the job done. You guys now, Dale, will move on to play North Farmington on Friday at 2:50 p.m. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be a highly attended game from people in this area. Now, first off, Dale, I want to start off this chat by going to some additional footage from that game on Tuesday night. And I want to start off by talking about a kid who I believe, personally, we're looking at the landscape of Mid-Michigan boys basketball, who I believe is one of the most underrated players in the area, that being Jamyron Jackson. Because there was a point, Dale, where he just completely took over for you guys. Check this out and kind of go through what we're seeing here with Jackson. Because he can do it all. Now, you saw the dunk, yeah, off the steal, great defender. But what makes this kid so special?
Well, you know, Jamyron's a hard worker, man. You know, he works hard at his craft. I mean, he's shooting. I worked with him earlier in the year on, dribbling, taking the ball off the dribble a little bit more because he was relying a lot on his jump shots too much. Mm-hmm. So getting him to get that ball off the dribble, I think more added more to his game. So When he does that, he's really lethal. You know, I mean, he's the way he shoots and you know, handling the ball now better. So hopefully, you know, that'll carry on, you know, for the next game we play.
He is a talented kid. I got to know, what schools are looking at him?
You know what? There's a lot of mid-majors. University of Akron, Western Michigan, Oakland is looking at him. So, you know, those are the main three right now. So I'm sure he's going to probably wait till after the season to make a decision. So,
do you know if he's leaning anywhere at all right now? Or?
He hasn't decided yet. He hasn't leaned anywhere yet. So I just think he's trying to wait to see what happens after this run. So
he's a rock for you guys, isn't he? I mean, his leadership, what's his leadership like to this squad?
You know, he's a quiet leader.
He is.
You know, he's a quiet leader. And, you know, you talk to him, he's talk under his breath. But then when he says something, everybody listens, you know? So,
right.
So he's one of
It's like
of
a Draymond
those,
Green.
Like
kind of.
Draymond Green, yeah. But he's,
well, Draymond's loud all the time. That may have been a bad example. I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah, so but he's you know, opening up a little bit more from last year, you know, I guess because of Trevor Manuel and the other seniors, he kind of felt like he was taking a back seat. But this year he's kind of being a little more vocal.
Right. Now, again, going back to this footage, Dale, and this is why I firmly believe that high school basketball, no matter what the level, needs a shot clock, period. Freshman JV to varsity. Because, you know, you look at what takes place throughout the course of a basketball game, especially in the tight moments. Yeah. Whoever gets that lead, if you make a defensive stop on the other end of the floor, you can just really just sit on a basketball. And we did see that from you guys as well. But I want to go to a moment, though. The end of the first overtime. Tie game, there was no score in the first overtime.
Right.
Let's go to the play. This was actually Leandre Wright taking the shot that clanked off the back rim. And it was basically like kind of an ISO, right? Was that called that play?
Yeah, that was called. 1-4 flat, we call. It was designed for him to go one-on-one and the other guys, you know, like on the lower baseline. But he settled for the jump shot on that one, but we like him to penetrate and kind of kick to the shooters in the corner. So, it was designed, and he just missed a shot, you know, so.
Now, there was the game plan. If you guys did get the lead at any point in that overtime, if you got a stop on the other side of the basketball and got the rebound and went down your floor to stall, was that the game plan?
No, not
it wasn't.
At all. No.
Hold on, really?
No, really.
Okay, all right.
Because we believe in playing. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, it's at some point you stall, but you know we don't really put that in our game plan.
I'm gonna tell you what. You know, just to open up the door here. If I was a head coach, I would. If the game allows it, I'm a firm believer. If the game allows me to do something, you better believe I'm gonna do it. It's kind of like the whole thing with the Hacker Drummond and the Hacker Shack back in the day. If it allows it, why not, right?
Well, we're on TV, so I don't want to tell my secrets.
I got you. I knew there was a disclaimer coming. But let's go to the play that eventually was the game winner. Of course, we had DeAndre Robinson. What a great move here, if we could throw to that. It eventually was the game winner because it gave you guys the lead right here.
Yeah.
Talk me through this play.
Well, Diego had, you know, he'd been struggling a little while, the last couple of games on his mid-range there. And, you know, we just told him we need him to take those shots. You know, we need attempts. We don't need, passing too, because we do too much passing anyway. And we just wanted him to take more attempts because he is kind of lethal down there. So when he shot the shot, you know, we were pretty happy because once he scores, then that rises him up to the top level. So.
Right. Nice back down here, turn around. Really nice touches. It goes around and in. Yeah, Diego, big-time shot there. I called him DeAndre earlier. That's Diego. So, you know, it's so remarkable. What a run for you guys, Dale, because you went in the regular season 10-10 overall, 500, and then something happened. I don't know if it's something in the water at Lansing Everett, but you there was a moment, though, where you guys all sat down. It was a team meeting. Am I right?
Yeah. We had a team meeting with, you know, they had one. The players had one for themselves, and then we joined in as coaches and kind of came in like half an hour later. And we just, you know, came together and said, listen, this is not our team the first half of the season. So this is a new season coming to tournament time. So they kind of got together and just molded and said, hey, let's just make this run. So it turned out just going pretty good for us.
So after going 10-10, and this is what makes March so magical because, you know, and this is what I love about high school hoops. It doesn't matter what your record was. you know, during the regular season, everybody has a shot to make a run. And you guys epitomized that this year. 10-10 regular season, and now playing in the, of course, the state semifinals. Now, do you think that the road, when you look at the semifinal matchup coming up against North Farmington, do you think it's an easier road this year compared to last year when you guys lost in the semifinals at the Breslin?
I think it's a little bit harder for us because, you know, the fact that we don't have, like, the nucleus of Trevor Manuel or Deshae Dow, those guys who, you know, have played 4 years of varsity. Some of the guys we got now are just, this is their only second year on varsity. So I think this year is a little more harder because we're trying to get those guys to understand how the ones that got on varsity now, how fast-paced the varsity level is. So this year is a little bit harder for us.
And if you guys do get past North Farmington, you will play the winner of Detroit UD Jesuit and Macomb Dakota. Two teams that haven't lost all year, and, of course, Detroit UD Jesuit dines Mr. Basketball, who's going to Michigan State next year, Cassius Winston. First off, let's start with North Farmington. What do you know about North Farmington, Dale?
Well, we got film on them, so we're going to look at some film and see, you know, kind of dissect a few things, and then hopefully we can, you know, get a few things out of there that we need to get that's real important as far as on the defensive end that we need to do. So we'll do that, and hopefully we can get that situated and get that straightened out and get the guys practicing and get that all straightened out for Friday's game.
Do you know what kind of team they are? Do you like to run? Do they have shooters? You know, do they have just one playmaker? I mean, what kind of team are they?
From hearing from other coaches, they like to run.
Okay.
And they like to press like we do. And a lot of times teams that press don't like to get pressed.
Right.
You know? So we'll see how that works out.
Right.
So hopefully in our favor. But so, yeah, we just, you know, like I said, look at this film and see what happens.
Now, talking about Detroit UD Jesuit, have you seen Cassius Winston play this year?
I've seen him once. They were in a tournament earlier, Thanksgiving tournament in Detroit, the same time we were. They played before us. And the real deal. The real deal, man.
Do you guys get a bit nervous? I mean, if you win, you know, on Friday and play in the state championship game, I believe that'd be on Saturday, I believe.
Right.
You know, are you a bit nervous at all going against this kid at all? Or no, you can't be nervous around this time of year. It's sports, right?
Right. You know, our guys are up to any challenge, man. I mean, they strive for this. So they're looking forward to if this happens. You know, they want to do this because anytime you got a big-name player or Mr. Basketball or something, you know, All-American, they kind of
you can hear me
feed off that. So hopefully, you know, they'll feed
sweet.
Off that.
All right, we should
but
be good.
You got to get by Northern Farmington first.
That's so true. That is very, very true. Dale, you know, after the dust was settled in that win over Hudsonville on Tuesday, I heard like a running theme amongst all of you guys, players and coaches alike. And I heard this quote a lot. You know, a lot of people doubted us. A lot of people didn't think we would be here. And I'm sure you all have been using that as a bit of a chip on your shoulder. Now, you were in this position last year, as aforementioned, of course, playing in the state semifinals and coming up just a bit short of competing in a state championship game. Did you feel at all that this year was a year to prove that last year wasn't a fluke?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, that, you know, with Trevor, like I said, again, with Trevor Manuel, we, you know, just was a one-man team. And, you know, with the 6'10 guy, we you know, we always knew that it always helps in high school to have, you know, bigs. But this year, I just think we were a little more hungrier than last year. I think, not to say we weren't hungry last year, but this year, I think the guys know and got that experience. So they were like, hey, if we can win, if we can get in the tournaments and do well, we can go all the way. So that's the mindset we have.
What's the buzz around the school with your team?
Oh, man, you would think we're some big rock stars now, man.
Really?
They're signing autographs and, you know.
They're
signing autographs.
What? Get out of here.
Like, wow.
Oh, I wish.
You know, so I'm like, you know, and then, of course, all the families and cousins and everybody are calling. So it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy.
Wow. Now, of course, as I mentioned, Dale, now you played on a Lansing Everett team back in the 70s that went all the way and won a state championship. You played alongside Irvin Magic Johnson, a guy who you are really, really close with to this day. Do you get a bit of nostalgia when you go to these games, especially last night? I mean, at Don Johnson Fieldhouse, it was packed from the top of the rafters all the way down. Do you get a bit of nostalgia and do memories hit you when you compete in games of this magnitude.
Yeah. As you saw last night, I'm sweating like I was playing. And it's just, you know, you feel that feeling that, you know, these guys want it real bad. And so I'm thinking when I'm on the bench there, I'm like, wow, man, this could really happen. And, you know, and to win a championship as a coach, as a player and a coach, I think that's a great accomplishment, just not for myself, but for the other, you know, for Desmond, Mike Johnson, another assistant coach, and plus for the kids. So those things, I told them that these are things that you always remember, man. No matter what happens, you know, you're going to remember this, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now. So, and looking now, I'm still remembering mine 38 years ago. So.
And before we took the air, Dale, we were looking at the footage a bit, and you said that when you guys used to play at Don Johnson, people would be lined up on the blue baseline? Are you kidding me?
The baseline. Yeah, they crammed them in there, man. And I don't know what the fire marshal thought or what he said, but he was letting them in there, you know.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was ridiculous, man. And we know those are some good battles with Eastern, the Jay Vincent and those guys. So, great times.
You all were the hottest ticket in town, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we was the hottest.
Gotta love that. All right, what's the relationship like with Magic now, and will we see him? I mean, if you guys do win on Friday and play in the state championship, you think we'll see him come back and be in the building for a state championship game? I know I'm putting the spotlight on you right now. I know.
Well, I can't say, you know what I mean? Because, you know, when you got your own plane, you can go anywhere you want. So, so I don't know, man. I doubt it, but maybe you never know.
You talked to him last night, right?
Talked to him last night.
And he congratulated you on the victory. What was that conversation like?
Well, you know, he's a true Viking, man. He knows the battles that we go through. And I talk to him maybe, like I say, two or three times a week and let him give him updates on how we're doing. And he know how passionate I am about it. And so he called, what did you guys do, man? I said, man, you know, we won. You know?
That's all that matters,
That's all
right?
That matters, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, Dale, you got 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Stick around. And again, I want to remind folks, again, Everett plays North Farmington Friday at 2:50 p.m. The 12th man starts right now. All right, it is now time for the 12th man, where we stop taking questions from me, for Dale, and you get a chance to via social media, facebook.com/currentsports, and my Twitter page at Al Martin WKR. Dale, are you ready, my man?
Ready to go.
First question.
Let's do it.
Chris from Lansing wants to know, if you had to choose one professional player to build a team around, who would it be and why? And I'm going to throw something else in here. Of any player professionally of all time, anybody who's played in the NBA of all time, who would you start with? And you can't say Magic. Don't go ahead and say Magic.
Wow, now you make it hard. It's got to be Michael Jordan.
Okay.
It's got to be Michael Jordan.
And why?
Man. Well, Michael is because of the relationship that he and Magic had, and still does. And then I had a chance to meet Michael and kind of be around in that era. And, you know, the guy's incredible, man. So it would probably have to be Michael Jordan.
That's a good that would be my answer as well. Yeah. I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan you ever meet. I think he's the greatest basketball player of all time. All right, love that question. Thank you, Chris. All right, Kelly from Grand Ledge wants to know, do you think Michigan State's first round loss to Middle Tennessee State is the biggest tournament upset of all time?
No. You know, because teams like that, you know, they don't really have to – you know, be at a low, you know, because they're at a lower seed. They're going to come out and play you like the game 7 in an NBA finals or whatever. So they're going to play at their highest level. So
right.
I don't think it was too much of an upset. Teams that play like that, if you shoot like that, you play hard, you come out victorious.
MTSU really with nothing to lose, right? Just playing out there with, you know, helter skelter. Hey, if we beat them, hey, big upset. If we don't, hey, we were expected to lose.
Exactly.
All right, Courtney from Ann Arbor. What is your favorite Magic Johnson story? I know there are many that come to mind.
This is probably when we were in high school. We were taking the bus to Jackson, leaving Everett High School, and he was late. Getting to the bus that day, and our coach was, you know, we were sitting there waiting. So our coach Fox, George Fox, was saying, "Hey, we got a game, we got to take off." And so he gets up and goes and tells the bus driver, "Let's take off." And so we're slowly leaving the parking lot out of Everett, you know. So here comes Irvin around the corner, him and his dad, you know. So he finally gets on the bus. So I go up to Coach. I says, man, I says, Coach, what did you tell the bus driver? He goes, well, I told him to go as slow as he could out of the parking lot.
just really creep on out the parking lot because he made me come. Urban.
Yeah.
Oh, that is great. That's a golden story.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one, Dale. All right.
Gotta love that. That's a fantastic story. Again, folks, if you want to check out the visual of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Dale Beard, again, assistant coach of the Lansing Everett boys basketball team, just simply go to video.wkar.org. All right, 5 minutes left in the show. Let's try to get them on right now. Ray from Indiana. Ray, are you there?
Skipper!
What's going on? We had some technical difficulties, Ray, but we finally got you on. What is on your noggin?
Happy Easter to you.
Yes, you too. You too. You and yours.
How important today is, right? Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
It's Good Friday.
Yeah. But he rose again to fool them all, right, on Sunday.
Preach. You're preaching.
All right, but I just tried to preach to the bullies. I called the police and the attorneys and everybody, and they all hung up on me. 10 years of being humble ain't enough for them, I guess.
What's on your sports mind, Ray?
Well, I just very happy about today. Mm-hmm. You know, we all make mistakes in our life, but thank God the one and only Jesus forgives us, right?
Hey, that's a great call on the Friday. Appreciate that, Ray.
God
appreciate
bless you,
it.
Buddy.
All right, Ray. Gotta love that, Ray. Simple and sweet on Good Friday, Isaac. All right, it is Friday. We love to close out each and every Friday's Current Sports with Reflection Friday, reflecting on the week that was here on the show and beyond, and bringing up a few stories that we talked about and maybe a few we didn't get to chat about. So here we go, Reflection Friday. All right, first off, for me, Isaac, it's been a crazy few weeks when it comes to Michigan State, former Michigan State men's basketball players. Saw today that Zach Randolph, former Michigan State men's basketball player, he is now the latest former men's hooper to be in trouble. Zach Randolph is being accused of choking a woman in a L.A. hotel. Not too long ago, we saw Brandon Dawson accused of domestic violence and Mateen Cleaves accused of sexual assault. So I don't know what's happening, but it's very eerie right now. Three former Michigan State men's basketball players in trouble with the law when it comes to some sort of domestic issue. Also, Adrian Broner. Yes, the fighter, folks. Speaking of felony charges, Adrian Broner, a junior welterweight and world title holder who was scheduled to defend his belt for the first time on April 1st, faces felony assault and aggravated robbery charges in his hometown of Cincinnati. Get this. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, the suit filed in Hamilton County Common Pleas court says that Broner and the alleged victim, Christopher Carson, had been wagering as much as $6,000 per bowling match. Carson won $8,000 from Broner before he ran out of cash, and then Broner wagered another $6,000 on credit. Broner became upset, left the bowling alley. Then Carson, right when Carson had won actually a total of $14,000, and Broner sought a $6,000 bet for a final game, Carson said, no, I don't want to do that. Broner left. The lawsuit states that Broner waited outside the bowling alley with a group of eight men when Carson left at 3 a.m. Carson was punched twice by Broner, who had a gun in hand. The punch split his chin open, knocked him out. Carson was unconscious and had $12,000 in cash taken away from him.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
That's a high-stakes heist.
What an idiot. Adrian Broner, just one of the idiots in sports, folks. So that's all I had on my noggin. Anything real quick, Isaac?
Yeah, really quick. RG3 to Cleveland. Not so crazy about Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz rematch. Love it. Can't wait.
That's going to be a great one. All right, thanks so much, all of you out there, for tuning in to Current Sports throughout this week. Again, folks, we'll be back at it on Monday. Have a fantastic and safe weekend. Be easy, people.